We are now joined live in studio by the Sinn Féin candidate and Cavan Monaghan, and I think now the party's only MEP since 11 o'clock on Friday evening, Matt Carthy. Matt, you must be hoping you are going to be elected, because it's going to be pretty lonely in Brussels and Strasbourg without having Martine Anderson's company, isn't it?
Good morning, Gavin, and to your listeners. Yes, well, that's not the reason why I'm hoping to be elected. I've really enjoyed my work as an MEP. I think we've made a really big impact, as has Martine Anderson and Lynn Boylan and Leon Irida in their terms here. But yes, I'm hopeful on Saturday that I'll be elected, alongside Pauline Tully, who's my running mate based in Cavan. We're going to leave no stone unturned to deliver those two Sinn Féin seats.
You were getting a lot of criticism for somewhat hedging your bets about not being clear whether you were going to pursue this Dáil election when you were running for Europe. What do you say to people who elected you 8 months ago on the premise that you were going to be there to stick out the full term?
Well, as you say, I took a lot of abuse, for want of a better term, but it was almost entirely by media types, because I wouldn't and didn't give a commitment that I wouldn't run in the general election, because I always knew it was a possibility, and I made no secret about the fact that it was one of the options that we were looking at, that I would be running for the general election.
What do you make of this morning's poll in the Business Post that has your party level with Fianna Fáil and 3 points ahead of the outgoing government party Fine Gael?
I have to say, I think it's reflective of what we're hearing through all our campaign teams right across the state. At the same time, we're not getting carried away by it. It is only an opinion poll. The real job of work is to ensure that all those people who are telling us that they want change actually come out and vote for change next Saturday. If they do, then I'm confident that we can have a good election and that we can have a big bearing in terms of the formation of the next government. But as I said, there's a lot of work to be done, and we just had our Sunday press conference there with Mary Lou and Pierce and David Cullinan, Louise O'Reilly, Eoin O'Brien, Michelle O'Neill as well. Every one of them was back on the road, and we're going to continue to be on the road until next Saturday.
I believe Mary Lou, though, was still stopping a little bit short of proclaiming herself to be a candidate for Taoiseach.
Yeah, it's not because it's not up for people to self-declare or to decide that some people aren't. The people who are going to decide all of this are going to be the voters next Saturday. So I think it would be very presumptuous of Mary Lou or anybody else to decide that they're candidates for any ministry in the next cabinet. The people who will decide that are the voters. And I think one of the reasons why people have been turned off by the campaigns of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is because they've decided that they can say who's actually in the running for different positions, and I think people have been turned off by that, and I've seen it as evidence of just of the sense of entitlement that those two parties have to power in this state.
We will talk a little bit more about the actual manifesto on the platform which Sinn Féin is running, but just one other question on the theme of the poll. You mentioned that you anticipate being one of the few Sinn Féin TDs that will be going back to Dáil Éireann alongside a running mate. In hindsight, with the party gaining the support that it is, would you regret running only as little as 42 candidates, because it means that even if everything goes your way in a week's time, you still only control about a quarter of the Dáil?
Well, I have to say, if we return 42 candidates, and I don't think anybody's suggesting that we would be able to do that, it would be a phenomenal result. We have to always look at these things on a constituency by constituency basis. As I say, in Cavan Monaghan, we came to the view early on that there were two seats was an achievable ambition for our party, and we did that. You know, maybe next Sunday we'll be regretting not running additional candidates in other places, but I have to say, Gavin, that'll be a problem I'd be very happy to have.
Well, indeed, it's one I think a lot of people in your party will be delighted to have to entertain this day week. Let's talk about Sinn Féin, the prospect of Sinn Féin in government. Is there a danger, and you've been in the European Parliament, so you know a lot about the fate that they've had, is there a danger that Sinn Féin in government could go the way of Syriza and end up getting absorbed in the machinery and the establishment of the state and not be able to bring the actual reforming zeal that you're promising?
Well, I think all we have to do is ensure that we actually bring our radical politics as they are, but everything that we have set out in our manifesto is achievable. It's been costed.
Not in the round, though. Individual measures have been costed, but not in the round. So the Department of Finance hasn't looked at the document and said that one measure doesn't influence another one. So it hasn't looked at the whole lot as a whole package.
And that's why we've been really lucky to have spokespeople like Pierce Doherty and Eoin O'Brien and Louise O'Reilly, overseen by the team that has been put in place by Mary Lou MacDonald, to actually have all those questions. So none of these policies were thought of on the cuff. These policies have evolved because of our engagement with the various sectors, because of our engagement with communities, and because of the experience that we've gained. Nobody would question, you know, the work that Pierce Doherty has done. In fact, and this sometimes gets lost, we are the only opposition party in the world that I am aware of that on a year-by-year basis produces a fully costed alternative budget, so that people can go through and see on an annual basis what we would do in any given year.
But every time it's only the individual measures that are
costed. And that's
the
only mechanism that's available to us. And of course, there will always be questions, but we are absolutely up for delivering what's in our manifesto, knowing as we do that workers and families right across this country need a break. They want some support. And I think what we've done in terms of putting forward realistic and achievable measures is say to people, things can be different. Change is possible. And of course, on the flip side, you have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael essentially running campaigns based on the premise that change isn't possible. We don't buy that. We are up for change, and we think the people are up for change, and our job is now in the last number of days to tell those people who are up for that change to actually come out and vote.
You mentioned how policies have evolved over time through engagement with different interest groups and the likes. Might it be the case that your party is now only becoming the big electoral vehicle that it is, partly because you've evolved away from some other policies over time? Like, for example, there was a time where a linchpin of Sinn Féin's economic manifesto was increasing corporation tax because it was felt that 12.5% is too low. That's no longer the position. Sinn Féin has been almost wrapping itself in the European flag because of what's happened for Brexit for the last couple of years, and yet there hasn't been a single European treaty that your party has endorsed. So is it the case that maybe you're becoming a bigger vehicle because you're recognising that parts of the old platform just weren't going to wash?
No, the central principles on which Sinn Féin approach all of these issues remain the same, and we always look on these issues in terms of what's best for the Irish people. How can we best protect our economy? Absolutely, ensure that we have a prosperous economy, but ensure that that prosperity actually means something to people's lives. That's one of the big failings of the past number of years under Fianna Fáil, supported by Fine Gael, is that while people are looking at broad macro figures and are told that there's been growth in our economy, they've actually saw their disposable income contract, and they've saw their childcare costs, insurance costs, mortgage and rent costs increase exponentially in many cases, to such a degree that people feel really stretched financially. So we look at all of those things in terms of our corporate taxation policy. What we want to ensure is that corporations actually pay the corporation tax that's set. In relation to our position on Europe, we look at every development within Europe in terms of what's in the best interest of the Irish people. So we oppose the Lisbon Treaty because it was bad for Ireland as we saw it. We oppose Brexit for the exact same reason. It's bad for Ireland and it's bad for the Irish people, and that's what we will always premise our policies on.
You are a member of Sinn Féin's Ard Cóirle. I'm pretty sure I remember you getting elected in the run-up to the President's speech a few months ago. What did you think of Patrick Tobin's criticism during the week that TDs don't get their say, or that if there are two complementary or contradictory policies passed by the Ardesh, that basically HQ will decide which of those should be taken up, and that it effectively instructs TDs which way to go then afterwards?
Well, I have to say, listening to a number of political opponents talk about the Sinn Féin Ard Cóirle, they make it sound much more interesting than it actually is, because the party's Ard Cóirle, just like any governing body of a national organisation, deals predominantly with the organisational nuts and bolts measures that are put in place, and it ensures that policies that are adopted by our Ardeshna are actually implemented in whatever political institution.
And is it solely down to Ard Cóirle? Ard Cóirle doesn't take instructions or doesn't source input from anyone else?
In the sense that the ultimate decisions are made by the members who are of the Ard Cóirle. And I heard this talk about shadowy figures. I would love if newspapers would actually publish the names of the Ard Cóirle, because in many cases, there are names that are well known. I'm on the Ard Cóirle. Pierce Doherty's on the Ard Cóirle. Conor Murphy's on the Ard Cóirle. Of course, Mary Lou is the leader of the Ard Cóirle alongside Michelle O'Neill. So most of the people who are actually on the Ard Cóirle are elected representatives. And we also have representatives from the regional organisations, and also our youth wings and other departments within the party.
So what do you then make of some of the criticism that's come from the evidence at the RHI inquiry? And we know that Sam McBride has written about it extensively, where he points to your party colleague, Martin O'Muir, who, when he was Minister for Finance in the previous Stormont executive, was given certain advice by his civil servants, and it was basically all ready to go. And we still saw evidence of Martin O'Muilio referring that evidence and seeking counsel from some members of staff at Sinn Féin HQ who are not elected and are not accountable to anyone. What is your understanding of what that role is, or how do you account for that sort of relationship?
I would expect any government minister, when they're making a key decision, and the RHI was a huge, costly debacle that involved representatives, we know, senior representatives of the DUP, but also had been endorsed by senior civil servants. So just because civil servants advise something doesn't necessarily mean that that's always the correct advice. And I would expect every minister to consult with appropriate people, obviously within the party, but also outside of
but
the party.
But ministers have their own special advisors to take all of that on. So I wonder what expertise people in Sinn Féin HQ and the Falls Road would have had to offer guidance on something like that.
My understanding is, in relation to these things, that the advice would be as much political as anything else, because these are really important issues. The ramifications for RHI went beyond just the specifics of that issue. You have to remember that that was at a time when the institutions were under incredible stress. So everything had to be taken in the round. So I would imagine that our ministers in Stormont at that time would have sought counsel from a variety of different sources. And I would expect Sinn Féin ministers in government to also be open to counsel from across the board. And not because one of the problems that we have within Irish politics is that people find themselves in bubbles. I've no doubt that the reason that Charlie Flanagan thought it was appropriate to host a commemoration for the RIC was that his area of counsel or a circle of counsel was far too narrow, that he didn't actually go to the point of speaking to anybody who was basing their lives experience on reality.
So you don't think it would be at all unremarkable, or that you could fully expect it happening, that if there were Sinn Féin ministers in the next government in the Republic, that they would equally be looking for counsel from some people in Sinn Féin head office when it came to certain policies?
I would hope that Sinn Féin ministers would seek broad counsel. At the end of the day, though, what I also hope, and that would mark Sinn Féin out from other parties, is that at the end of the day, the ministers are responsible for their actions, and I hope that they will be held accountable for their actions. Part of the problems that we've seen over the past 4 years is ministers for health that have allowed absolute crisis to develop and get worse. The same with housing. And they have been kept in place by the Fine Gael party with the support of Fianna Fáil. Okay. We want to make sure that those ministers who are appointed after next week are actually held accountable both to the electorate and to the Dáil.
We've seen in the Sunday papers today, and no doubt it will be something that will be raised by your political opponents in the next week, is some aspects of what has happened in the past, both in both this jurisdiction and the one north of the border, and something that Sinn Féin might know about that. And there's question marks about the attack on Paul Quinn, who I know is a fellow Monaghan man like yourself. Before we get to all of that, you told the journal.ie in 2015, you were asked about whether you believed Gerry Adams was in the IRA. I accept he's not running in this election, but you said that it doesn't really matter to you whether he was or whether he wasn't. Is that an acceptable sort of equivocation to take? Surely you should know or have an opinion one way or another.
I've given the example, you know, I come from the border region, as you say. I got interested in politics because as a teenager I became really angry whenever I travelled a few miles from my home. I saw the place would be saturated with British Army personnel in County Armagh, even though as far as I was concerned that was another part of Ireland, and I got incredibly angry and frustrated, and as a teenager I would have contemplated a violent response. People like Gerry Adams ensured that people of my generation had a peace process, and that we were the generation that benefited most from the peace.
But do you think he was in the IRA?
I don't know, and that's the reason why I was saying, to me it's irrelevant. What was important for my generation was that Gerry Adams took the brave decisions in encouraging and fostering a peace process that we've all now benefited from. And I have to say, I find it disappointing, if not surprising, that in the last number of days of this election, when people are looking for solutions, and Sinn Féin have clearly solutions that are exciting the proportion of the electorate, we have people playing games with the peace process again, particularly Micheál Martin, who has really played no role in the peace process over the past number of years other than to snipe from the sidelines, and usually in a very negative, destructive way. And I think that's disappointing, and I would have expected more from the party of Albert Reynolds, to be quite frank about it, and I find it really disappointing. And I think that that disappointment is shared by a lot of Fianna Fáil members, I have to say.
Whatever then about his comments, if it is the party of Albert Reynolds and it does style itself as being another Republican party like your own, would you consider them to be the more appropriate coalition partners when push comes to shove and you need to get the numbers over the line?
Well, let's see what the numbers are next week, first of all. And as I said at the beginning, I don't think it's appropriate for anybody to be presumptuous in terms of what those numbers are going to say. Our job is to try and ensure that those people who want change vote for it. And
but
then we'll see how
outlook
it comes out. When this election is over, what I would love to see my preference would be that we could see the formation of a government that didn't include either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. I think, on the other hand, the worst possible scenario is a situation that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are essentially back into government, because we want to see a Republican programme for government, and we'll sit down with everybody that's willing to sit down to set out how do we deliver what we've said, how do we deliver 100,000 homes, how do we deliver solutions to the health crisis, how do we give childcare workers a break and ensure that the cost of childcare is reduced, how do we start planning for Irish unity, how do we do all the things that are clearly exciting a proportion of the electorate, how do we do that in the next government? That's going to involve sitting down and trying to agree a Republican programme for government. Whoever's up for sitting down and talking about those things will do that.
Okay, conversation for this time next week perhaps. In the meantime, Matt Carthy, we'll let you go. Matt Carthy, candidate in Cavan Monaghan, and Sinn Féin MEP for Ireland's North West, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime on The Record.